Father, we thank you this moment belongs to you. We yield to you in your presence. We're just looking for you more. We're always looking for you, always looking for you in us. What your plan is, what your focus is, what you're telling us that we don't know already. And I know that what you do is you dig out of us, you reveal more of ourselves to us through who you are and dig out of us more of who we are through you. So we thank you for that. And so we're yielded to that process in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. Matthew chapter 11. And let me start off by saying this. And you can put this down, the prerequisite, and that's a deep word. We used to use that when I went to college, used to have prereq classes, used to have things that you had to have before you had something else. So I had to have math 1021 before I took math 1022. So it's something that you have to have before you can access something else. Or it's a class that you have had to finish before you can enroll in the next class. And so prerequisite, that's that word, it's deep word. I just wanted to explain it real quick. So the prerequisite for revelation is humility. You can put that down. That's a simple statement. But the prerequisite for revelation is humility. There's a lot of people looking for revelation knowledge and looking for new things to be revealed when we have not mastered the idea of humility, the character, the being of humility. The prerequisite for revelation is humility. The prerequisite for us not searching Jesus more, or the reason that we don't search in Jesus more, is high-mindedness. We have a tendency to think that we know already. Of course, you won't search for more if you think that you know already. Of course, you won't search for more if you think that you're okay already. And so it becomes a prerequisite. I say that for a reason, because I think one of the things, I said this in my last time ministering last Tuesday, and I'll say it again, that we need to increase our search. One of the most important things that, and this is not the message I'm preaching on, but one of the most important things, important statements that Jesus said was, seek ye first. I mean, he said, seek and you'll find. He would say these things quite often because he understood the search. He understood the process of the search. He understood what that could yield in your life. And so it's important for us to search and not to be so high-minded to think that we know things already. I'm saying this because I want to share something with you. I use a Strong's Bible, a Strong's Concordance. The Strong's Concordance, I got it on my phone. It makes it really easy on my phone. I can click words and really see what the original meaning of that word in English was. English was not the original language of the Bible. The original scripture came through maybe three or four languages before it got to English. There are some words in English that don't translate to what the original meaning was. So for me to sit there and read this English Bible and just take our westernized English mentality on what it means is very high-minded of me. And it's very bigoted of me to just rely on that and not to dig a little deeper or search a little further. So when I use Strong Concordance, it goes back to when it was translated from Greek to Hebrew, Latin, and English. And it kind of tells you some of the words that what they meant and what they originally meant sometimes are very different from our interpretation. Most of the time, they're very different from what our Americanized interpretation of something is. And then in that form, we sometimes lose the power that's in that word, or we lose the power that's in the meaning of what's behind there. And so, you know, I suggest you get a Strong's Concordance, and there's other things you can use, but that's just the one that I use to search a little bit more. Also, I want to say this, that one of the ways that power was held back from slaves was through reading. They didn't let slaves read. And one of the reasons they didn't want to let slaves read, because they didn't want them to be informed of how things work or how things go on. Right now, even in our system today, there are things in contracts and in legal constitutions and amendments and different things that are written in a way that are so difficult to understand that only a certain echelon of people can read them and certain echelon of people can understand them. Why? To keep the separation of knowledge, because if I can keep the separation, then you'll never know what's really going on with you. You'll never really know what's happening to you. And so one of the ways they kept slaves, I heard a story the other day, and it was a funny story about a slave. There was a slave that can read. And so, you know, he was the only one to read, but he kept it quiet because, of course, they'd kill him if he could read. You know, they were trying to keep that Holy Grail reading. So he could read and write. So he was writing free, the freedom notes. for the slaves. The same notes that the slave owners would give to each other to set them free, he would write them for a slave that he had, a friend that he had, and set them free. The slave owners didn't know the difference because they figured they were the only ones that can read and write. So this had to be an original or a real document. So it was freedom. It was freedom in the understanding. So make sure you search these scriptures, you read them, you understand them, you go deeper than the word that you see on the surface. Sometimes I know we say, Holy Spirit, reveal this to me. But sometimes the Holy Spirit say, why don't you click right there what's on there? Why don't you dig a little deeper to the word that's written right there? Because maybe you'll see something that you hadn't seen that may reveal something to you. So there it is. So the prerequisite for revelation is humility. So Strong's Body. I say that all to say this. Matthew chapter 11. And we'll start off at verse 25. This is, you know, it's a great week. It's Thanksgiving week. Everybody's preparing for Thanksgiving on Thursday. Most people are preparing to cook and to eat. Hopefully you've adjusted your menu a bit to be a bit more healthy. But, you know, it's a little different this year because of the pandemic, but some people are still getting together with family and friends. And, you know, usually this week we have a great message. They come up with the Thanksgiving messages. And we got the message, and we go to the concordance and we search all the thanks scriptures. Thank you this and thank you that, and find out where the thanks are. And we go through all the scriptures. So thanks be unto God who give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And we go over and over. We go to all the thank you. We go to all the thank you scriptures. And this is going to be a Thanksgiving message too, but it'll be a little different because y'all know me. I'm a red eye guy. I'm a red word guy. So I say, well, let me find out how many times Jesus said thank you. I just want to see if we're talking about thanks, if this is Thanksgiving week, if we're talking about the word thanks or thank you or saying thank you. You know, we say thank you when somebody gives us something, or we say thank you when somebody opens the door for us or does something for us. We like to show, we call it gratitude. We want to show that we're grateful for what they've done, right? So I say, well, let me go check Jesus out and see what context did he use the word thank you, or how did he, what was he saying? Why did Jesus say thank you? Right. And it made me think. I'm thinking right now, somebody that knows that he's one with God and has access to everything already and has everything. What would thank you mean for that person? Like, what does thank you mean for Jesus? What did Jesus have? What did Jesus not have that could be given to him that he had to say thank you the way that we do? So I started trying to say, OK, let me see what's going on. And so I got to verse 25, and there's another scripture over, and we'll go over to that one in a minute, too. I think it's over in, let me find out for a second. It's over in Luke chapter 18. It's so funny. But in verse 25 right here, it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has what? Revealed. We were just talking about Revelation a minute ago, has revealed them unto babes. So now we see, let's look at this again. I'm going to read it again. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. So now I'm looking at Jesus and I say, I only see him say thank you one or two times in the Gospels. You know, we got all these thank you scriptures. Only one or two times Jesus said thank you. And then when he's talking about now, he's saying thank you that you hid these great things from the wise and the prudent. I'm grateful that these smart guys ain't got the answer. I'm grateful that there are things that are really the keys to how you do things, God, and you hid them from these people that think they're too smart. You hid them from the people that think they're so smart that they don't even search anymore. You hid it from these people that think they're smart according to society's terms. I thank you. Now to thank you, I hid it for a minute. Now I hit the word, I hit it with the Strong's. I'm gonna show you how I walk through it. And when I hit thank you, it's a word, exomodulio, you know, I don't claim to pronounce words that great. But then his thanks was less of a gratitude because you gave something, but more of a confession and an agreement. So now when Jesus says thank you, he's almost agreeing to something that is already absolute. He's just acknowledging his agreement to something that is already. Father, I agree. Look, right now I'm confessing that I agree you should have hid it from these people. I agree of your process of hiding it from these wise and prudent people and giving it to the babes. I agree with it. But more importantly to me was his agreeance to something that was already absolute. You know, we have a tendency to say thank you. All right, I'm going to get in this for a minute. We have a tendency to say thank you when something is done for us. Then we go and we think we're a little deeper when we say thank him in advance. We like to say those phrases, right? Or we like to say, God, I'll thank you for what you've done for me already. But what about thanking for what's absolute right now? What about, it says, I confess, I acknowledge, I profess, I acknowledge openly. You go a little deeper, you got little numbers, you're hitting the strongs, and go a little further. And it says, let me see this other one. It says, to say the same thing as another, to agree with, to concede, not to refuse, to promise, not to deny, to confess, to declare, to confess, to profess, to declare openly, to speak freely, to profess oneself, a worshiper, to praise or celebrate. So now it's just, we've got the one part, thank you, thank you, thank you. But no. Now thanks mean I agree with you. I am in agreement. When I say thank you, I am, and this is the way Jesus said it, I am in agreement with your plan, in this particular text, to hide it from the wise and the prudent. But now, even so, my thanks, even my true thanks is, and this is the way Jesus said it now. This is the way Jesus said thank you now. Before we get to Thanksgiving and all this stuff, this is the way Jesus said thank you. He's saying, I agree with what is absolute already. I'm not thanking you for what I want you to do. I'm not thanking you for what is going to happen. We only say thank you sometimes when something does happen. No, it's already done. So now my thanks is in agreement with what is already absolute. I am only, when I say thank you, I'm only agreeing and confessing and professing what already is. He says, Lord, I thank you. Father, Lord in heaven, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto the babes. Now, verse 26, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. So I understand what I'm saying. Thank you, because I'm agreeing with what's good in your eyes already. Watch this. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Are we there? Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and him whomsoever the Son will reveal him. We talked about a revelation earlier. Reveal him to he who the Son will reveal him. Verse 28, and we'll stop right there. And say, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So now Jesus, and I'm gonna get to the scripture in a minute, but now Jesus is saying, thank you that you hid it from the wise and the prudent and delivered it unto the babes. And then he goes on to explain how you have access to what is hidden from the wise and the prudent. He goes on to say, I agree with this process. I agree with why the wise people and the prudent people and the prideful people don't have access to this. I agree with it. I'm acknowledging that this is so. And then I say, come here, let me show y'all why this is so. Come here, let me show you how this works. Come here, let me show you how you can access the thing that are hidden from the wise and the prudent. Now, in today's society, we run after the wise and the prudent. I mean, this is why we go to universities and nothing against universities. This is why we read the books and we go after the people that we think are the most intelligent. And this is why we say all these different things, because we are convinced that the wise and the prudent have the answers. And they don't know what they're doing. We are convinced that our answer is in those strategies. Or in those steps, or in those ways, and we glorify them, we clap for them. Woo, such and such a billionaire. Woo, such and such got this degree. Woo, such and such got that. And then Jesus says, thank you that you hit it from the wise and the prudent. I appreciate it. He said, God, you know what, God? I agree with you. I confess right now that I agree that it should have been hidden from the wise and the prudent. And it's not that. It's not that they're picking the wise and the prudent. It's just people that are wise in their own eyes, prudent, prideful in their own eyes, and they don't want to get down. Yeah. There's a tendency to want to stand up a little bit more. Stand up and stand up for your rights and stand up for what you believe and stand up for, yeah. That ain't what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say that. He said, come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he goes and says, watch this. He said, when you come, because first of all, you got to recognize who you are. You're working hard and it's heavy laden. So now you need to recognize. Let's stop being so bigoted and acting like we can handle it. No, it's heavy and you're working hard. And you're tired because you need rest. And I will give you rest. And when you come here, this is what you have to do. Take my yoke. Take how I'm walking. Take the thing that I have wrapped on my neck. Take that and put it upon yourself. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Sit down, calm down, humble yourself and learn. Not just learn, because the wise and prudent teach stuff too. He would make a statement and say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They teaching things too. And they seem smart, right? But he said, no, and learn of me. And what exactly am I learning of Jesus? Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am, and Jesus says, I am a lot of things. You pay a lot of attention when you see I am. He says, for I am great and majestic, powerful and strong, spiritual and deep, anointed and blessed. I'm trying to think of all the words I could think of that y'all say, put some in the chat. Y'all put some little phrases. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all put them in there. All the ones you like to say, that you put them in the rhythm. You know what I'm saying? Anointed and gifted and talented. You know what I'm saying? All the different words that we like to say. And it was so many, and it's Jesus talking. So we know all those things. He could have really qualified. He could have really been like all that. I am God and the Holy Ghost. He could have said all that. Now, all the things the man said to take upon you and to learn of him, he said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm talented and powerful. I'm smart and educated. Nope, it's not the ones he used. He said, it's a key, man. I want to say it. It's key. It's a key. It's a key that we overlook and we miss because we've taken on the leaven of the Pharisees. We've conformed ourselves to the world and we missed the key. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. What does meek mean? Meek means I take on whatever God's will is as what it is, absolute. Whether good or bad, I take it on is absolute. Whether God sends me where I want to go or whether it feels good when I got to go, I take it on as God's will. I realize that I don't fight for myself because I understand that God fights my battles for me. I understand that God will avenge me. I read this in the Strong. It says that those that were meek understood that God will avenge them in their time. Many times the things aren't taken care of, and not revenge, avenge, not the revenge is the avenge, right? Not revenge. He will give you what's due to you in the time and take care of you. And those that have done something wrong with you, they're not getting away with it. But the meekness and the lowliness of heart is the key to the power. People have missed the key to Jesus' power because they want to be so strong. And they want to be so biggity. And everybody wants to be on. They want to be number one. Yeah. They want to be ranked on top. Yeah. And so I want to be on top of somebody else. I want to be over somebody else. Right now, there's a plethora of people that starting companies and businesses and LLCs because they're easy to start just because they want to be a boss. No, you need to work for somebody. Because you need to understand the meekness and the lowliness of heart. You need to understand the process. And so what Jay was, you ready for it? What's up is really down and what's down is really up. But we've been flipped. So we chasing the artificial light and we're missing the real light. You hear me? This is what the system teaches you. It's all over. It's all over. It's on TVs, on the radio. It's on your phones, on social media. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in the church. It's in politics. It's in education, entertainment. It's all over. What's down is up and what's up is down. They don't even understand the power of gravity. We don't even understand where all of life comes from. All growth comes from the low. All growth starts in the low. We don't see any trees growing in the sky. None of it starts in the clouds. It all starts from the bottom. It all starts at the low. It all starts at the base of what things are. Even mankind was created from the low. I'm thankful that he'd make me out of a cloud. But he created me out of the dust of the earth. Even when God made woman, he had to lay man down on the ground and put him to sleep before he can create something out of that. There's a process in this that we miss. We miss it because we don't see it through the red eyes. And so we're reaching for prestige. I tell these people, we go to ministry school, I say, if y'all signed up in ministry school, be a doctor or apostle or a pastor or reverend or something, you're here for the wrong reason. Ain't nobody signing up for no titles. You sign up for the title, that's what you're going to get, a title. Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, just watch out for them who do their alms all in and be screaming out in the middle of the streets, and they wear their big robes because they want to be pray out loud in the streets because they want to be seen. He said, but they're going to have their reward. You know what they are all going to be? Being seen. There is no fruit in that. He said, but when you give your alms, you don't let your right hand know what your left hand do. That's hard. But not let your... Listen to the same. This is how deep Jesus get. Jesus go real deep when he say stuff. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand. But I feel both of them, right? Don't let your right hand know. Right? Then he says, when you pray, go in the closet. Now he's not literally saying for you to go in your closet, but stay on the inside. Stay on the deep. You get it? This is what he's calling for us. Meek. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Out of all the things that he describes himself as, he uses meekness and lowliness to describe it. We miss the power. We miss the source of the power. We miss the source of the power. We miss the source of the power. And then ye shall find rest for your soul. Now, verse 30, we think he be lying. But according to today's society, today's ways of doing things and our steps and the things that we take and what we're told to do, verse 30, he probably lying then. According to how things go, he lying. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Y'all like, that yoke ain't easy. It's hard work. We got to do work hard. It takes hard work. You got to be, get grit, get some dirt on your nails. You got to be ready to be gritty and hard work. Well, see, the difference, the work is the same. The things that you have to do the same, but the mentality is different. Listen to what I'm saying. The work, I talked about a little dude the other day, watch this. And it's a great example. When they used to wear yokes, they had yokes for oxen, which was two things. I wish I had a picture right now to show you. But they were the things they would put on the oxen, they would be the thing they put on one neck of one ox, and one, it would make them walk together. It would be a thing they put, and it's like one long wood thing. It's like a bracket that they put on both of them, and it makes them stick together and walk together. They got two parts for two ox, but then there were also one person yokes. And this is what they would use to put around their neck to carry buckets, large buckets of water, because of course at those times we didn't have no pipelines. We got it so easy. We should be so much more advanced than we are. As easy as we got it with these roads and these clothes and these toilets and these running water. I digress. No running water, so now they gotta actually like bring water from different places. Like, I guess they gotta go down. So we would get water, Jay. We had to go down to the river. Jay said, no. We go down to the river and we got to bring enough water back. So that means we got to bring some pretty hefty buckets. Right? So they can be heavy. We're talking about, I can compare it to, me and Brother Long talking about, I compare it to them big 5 gallon buckets of paint. If you ever seen them, they got the little thing, you got to carry them, you know. But carrying them, the yoke makes things easy because of how you carry what you're carrying. See, it's not that you don't do the work. Most people like to come to Jesus thinking that the work is done. Oh, it's finished. He did it all, so I ain't got to do nothing. That's a lie. Yeah. He paid the price. Yeah, he paid the price to show you how to pay. Yeah. He paid the price to show you how to come out of pocket. Yeah, that's the process. I'm showing you how it, see, you're doing it the wrong way. You're doing it now. You're doing it the wrong way. You carry two big 5 gallon things of paint. Well, you know, you can try to carry both of them in one hand. If anybody's familiar with it, you try to carry them, but you're going to be off balance and you're going to be struggling trying to get it where it is. But if I put one right here and one right here, although there is a little weight to them, the balance helps me to be able to move and stay balanced when I'm walking with them. So meek and lowly at heart teaches me how to do it that way instead of that way. How to focus on it that way instead of that way. How, yes, it's cool to go get that degree, but let me get that degree in a meek and lowly at heart. You understand? Let me get that degree. Don't let that degree get me. Let me get this money, but don't let that money get me, rich young ruler. Y'all listen to what I'm saying? It's the same things that are there, but the mentality and the understanding and the perspective is different, which caused it to be more effective. You see Jesus? Yeah, Jesus still had to get beat and spit on and stabbed. He still had to go through that. But meek and lowly at heart caused you to look at it different. Even at the end, he's on the cross. At the end, later, at the end, he says, we read it. Now, this is why you gotta know what the original text means. You go back to Aramaic and do some studying sometime. You really need to study the Bible, right? And it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We're familiar with that, right? Right? That's really not the original text. The original text says, my God, I was created for this moment right here. For this moment, for this time, was I here? Did I come? That's the difference now, huh? My God, why thou forsaken me? Oh, why you let me down? Two, yeah, God, I get it now. This is why I was here in the first place, just for this moment. Then I give up the ghost. Total different process, but I have to go through these things. One statement Jesus says, watch this, meek and lowly heart. Jesus said he was so heavy, he's heavy, thinking about having to die. Then he perked up. He said, but what am I going to say? What do I say? Take this cup from me? Take this duty from me? But I was born for this. This is why I came here. So it totally changed his process of what had to be done in the first place. Jesus couldn't go to the cross high-minded. He'd have never made it there. If high-minded, they even talked about Jesus and they said, listen, Jesus says, watch this, watch our gangster of a state. Hold on, let me go back. They come to get Jesus. I'm showing you the process. They come to get Jesus and they say, well, which one it is? Jesus come kiss the one. They say, which one? He say, who are you looking for? He say, look, Jesus Christ. He say, I am he. And when he says this, everybody fall back. He didn't swing. He didn't put out a sword. He didn't do nothing. He said, I am he. And everybody fell. Everybody fell. Everybody fell back. I think it happened a couple times. If that ain't power, I don't know what is. But the only reason you have access to that power is because you're meek. And then what happens after that? He said, listen, Jesus said this, listen. He said, I'm the one you're looking for. He said, take me, but let these go. Because they're really coming to take everybody. They're trying to stomp out the whole revolt. He said, listen, take me. That's humility. Take me so that these may go. They say, okay. And all the rest of them took off running. It's funny, crazy. They all took off running. They just ran off on Jesus. Take me. They start talking about, yo, you. They got him in front of the court. He said, are you talking like this? I mean, you know I got the power to save your life. He said, you don't have no power to take my life. He said, you can't take my life. I give it. Humility. I could call legions of angels right now and shut all this down. And they'll come. I could literally, watch this access, Jay. I could literally call, this is what we be calling angels. We be calling stuff to come shed it down. Come cast these people down. Come cut them down, Lord. Cut them down, Lord. Not even knowing that you are the key to the deliverance in that situation. Maybe you were there for that reason alone. Maybe that's what you were born for. Maybe you weren't born for all these gifted and talented things that you are, but maybe you were born for that. Which would be liberation for another. Y'all see me? Watch. So he said, I call angels and shut it down. You don't take my life, I give it, meek and lowly in heart. The whole process of what we believe our salvation or what our salvation stands for is built on meekness and lowliness of heart. How can we walk in the principles that are benefited to us in salvation, not the way that it was made? If they were afforded to us through meekness and lowliness of heart, then the only way that they work is through meekness and lowliness of heart. You can't pray uppity. You can't praise bigoted. Matter of fact, you can't even have, your faith can't even be in your prayer and your praise. Sometimes because we pray and because we got a long prayers and we prayed a bunch of hours today, and because we praise and we listen to praise in the car, now we feel something about ourselves, but now you're prideful in your prayer. I wrote down, we can be prideful in our prayer, prideful in our praise, prideful in our presence, prideful in our participation, because we start to feel something about ourselves, Reverend. Yeah. I love what Apostle does on the witnessing app, because he'll say, you know, hey, we taking the titles off of there. Yeah. Yeah. Ain't no Dr. Montrell on there. And I never tried to put it on there because I just don't think about that stuff. You ain't passing nothing on here. You ain't Dr. Nothing on there. You ain't none of that. Take all that down. I'm trying to teach you humility. I'm trying to teach you what the place is. When Jesus started talking to me, he said, listen, when you go up in there, don't ask for the big room at the top. Take the low room. And then let somebody else put you in the higher room. Watch what I'm trying to tell you. He said, let your light so shine before men. He said, because they don't put it on the bush, they put it on the candlestand. So when you let your light shine, you don't have to walk in and say, look, I'm a light. I'm a light, everybody. Look, you. This, I'm what you need. I'm a light. Shut up. Go ahead, put that in the chat. Put that in the chat and tell yourself when you get big, like, shut up. Shut up, self. Lay down. Get down. Because on the other side of the meekness and lowliness of heart is the easy yoke and the light burden. We've made life hard for ourselves by taking on their ways of doing things. You know, y'all know I don't care. You know, you're a master intercessor. You're a master worshiper and a praiser. You're a master minister, and you are, you know, theologian of the gospel and all these. Did you master meekness? How low can you go? How low have you gone? Can you walk in the room and don't tell nobody who you are? Can you take a back seat? Can you decline when they try to put you up? Oh, I've done it before. I know how it goes. Hey, come up here. I'm good. Why don't you come to, I'm good. Are you waiting? And you can't be doing that false humility stuff either. Are you waiting for somebody to find you? I hope they can see me so they can put me up there. Do they know I'm here? Every time I saw Jesus, he was trying to get away all them people trying to boost him up. He said, Jesus went in there and closed the door upon the people. He said, because he knew what was in their heart. He said, I know what's in their heart. I know what they're here for. I ain't trusting myself to them. He in the crowd. Next thing you saw, they say, Jesus got through the crowd. And they don't know how he got there. Jesus say stuff like, don't go tell nobody. Don't go tell. Why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but one. We missing the power. Y'all missing the power. Y'all missing the power because y'all want to be good. You want to be good Christians. Why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but one. Stop. Calm down. We're missing the power. We're missing the whole power. This is why we're running after the signs and the wonders, but then wondering why we don't see no signs. This is why we marvel over the miracles and miss the meekness. Jesus only has the access that he has because he's not making a reputation for himself through that. My father works while I'm working. Then he said, my father do the work. Come on, y'all. But Jesus, you so what? Look, bro, let me be honest with you. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is only just because I'm only doing the will of the Father. I didn't come here with my 5-year plan. Couldn't have a 5-year plan because it's going to be done in 3. I didn't come here with, I didn't take everything that they was telling me and all this stuff like that and then built some kind of career for myself. Meek and lowly heart, find rest for your soul. We ain't sending out no flyers saying I'm going to be there. And this becomes the catalyst for his power. You want to be thankful? Let's agree with that. So we do what you mean. Thank you. Everybody say thank you. Come on, go ahead and say thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Not just for hiding it from the wise and the prudent, but then showing me. Thank you. I agree. Do we agree with meek and lowliness in heart? You got to ask yourself right now, do I agree with that process? I'm cool with the shouting and the running and the screaming and the shouting and the raising hands and laying hands. I'm cool with all those things. What about the meekness and lowliness of heart? Can I get into the spirit of meekness? Give me a double portion of lowliness of heart. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. This is the other time I see Jesus say thank, but he's using it in a story. He's not speaking for himself, but he's speaking of how other people use thank you. Luke chapter 18, you got to find yourself in the two different thank yous. And both of them have the same context, talking about referring to humility. The two men, Jesus telling the story, and I read right now, Jesus said, it's two men in the temple to pray. The one is a Pharisee. He got a title. You see the capital P on the Pharisee? You see it? He got a title. He's a Pharisee. He's somebody. We can put Pharisee, you can put appraiser right there. You can put a prayer, or we can put whatever thing that you're trying to just lift yourself up as. Capital P fast. And then he says, and the other publican, lowercase p, and the upper publican, the root word of publican is public. This is somebody out in the crowd. This is somebody, he don't really have no prestige. He don't have a position. He don't have a thing. I'm not messing over people with position, but how are you holding your position? Yeah. Publican. In verse 11, the Pharisee, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. So I'm glad I'm different. I'm glad I'm set apart. I'm glad I'm in a different class. I'm glad, thank you, that I ain't like the rest of them. As other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as the publican. I can understand extortioners, adulterers, unjust. You know what I'm saying? I can kind of understand that, even though you probably don't need to be thinking that too much, because not too long ago, you probably was one of them. Yeah. Let's keep it 100. Not too long ago, you probably was that. You probably got saved from that. Yeah. Ephesians 2 talks about that, but we ain't going to get into that. But I can even understand them a little better, but you just say, even as this publican. And he didn't say as the publican. He said as this publican. This man is in church praying, and the reason that he said Thanksgiving week, the reason he said thank you is because I ain't like that person. What kind of games are we playing? Now we think, look at him. Whoa, the Pharisee bad. That be you sometimes. That be us sometimes. Somebody walk in church don't look like you. Somebody walk in church stank of smoke. Or they fresh off the liquor. Lord, I thank you. Send them over, scoot down a little bit. Had the nerve. This man had the nerve. This man had the nerve to go in the temple and pray. He prayed and worshiped. He prayed and said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this guy. And I'm sure the publican probably heard him. That's how they used to be. The Pharisees, they'd be bigoted like that. They wanted to pray like that because he wanted him to feel worse about himself. And they felt like if I put his light out, my light can shine brighter. Yeah. No, that's a real thing. That's a real thing in the church right now. We got to be mindful of that, people. To stop comparing we try to judge, or we try to measure our goodness by what we not doing that they doing? Or we try to measure how great we are by how we define somebody not being great. We've taken on the measurement of society. I watch today and I see people that are famous and people that are in positions. And I watch somebody famous on TV talking about something that had nothing to do with the will of God at all. And it was just like some sports stuff or something. And I say, it just has nothing to do with nothing. This has nothing to do with nothing, but he's famous. And we say that he's talented and it has nothing to do with nothing. And I saw how far we are off as a society. To where we have the audacity to have discussions and make agreements and have dissertations about things that have nothing to do, and we miss out on the will of God. We've got to come down. Yeah. We've got to come down off these horses. Mm. We got to come down off the top of these skyscrapers and these buildings. Yeah. We got to come down. Yeah. Whoa, no. We've got to come down. We got to stop being so high and mighty. I've been in it for this long, so now it doesn't matter. Get down. Yeah. Get down and stay down. They say pride coming before the fall, right? Why does pride, you heard say pride coming before the fall, right? Why does pride come before the fall? Because the fall is where you should have been and you wouldn't have been prideful. The down is where the power is. So that's why you're prideful in the air with no power brings you back down to where it starts. And I told, look, I heard him just a little while ago. I screamed when he said it. I screamed. God told me this. I took a shower for a guy. God told me this. And I screamed. And before I know it, I said, come on, God, you the GOAT. I told him he the greatest of all time. You the GOAT. I said, come on, God, you the GOAT. He said, listen. He said, if you stay low, you'll never fall. Yeah. He said, you make yourself fall proof by laying down. Yeah. If you stay low, nobody can ever. He putting me down. He only putting you down because you think you up. Yeah. Can't nobody put you. They put me down. They only put you down because you stood up somewhere. Lay down. Stay low. Jesus says, be wise as a serpent. Where he at? Just let us know. Where he at? On the ground. He said, you make yourself fall proof by staying low. Scream when he told to me. And then that's where your power comes from. That's where your power comes from. Your power, the core. See, we think it's down, but it's really inside. See, gravity really isn't pulling down, because for something to be pulled down, shout out to Rachel, gravity is not really pulling down, because for something to go down, it had to be on something flat. So we have the concept that down is down, but we don't realize that we're on a sphere that's spinning called the earth. So gravity is really pulling towards the core of the earth, really pulling towards the inside. So when you get down, he's really trying to tell you to get down and go to the inside. Get down, even when you're working out, they tell you, work out your core. Work out your core, because if you can't walk straight, you can't pick up things with your arms, you can't do stuff like that and be healthy a long time if your core is not together. Everything comes from the core. Gravity, going down, falling, all this stuff is really pulling you towards the core. They say, oh, he's a great man, but he fell. Thank God. I got a brother right now, and everybody, they got him in the news and they say he fell. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Because wherever he was, if you could fall from somewhere, that must mean you wasn't low enough. And it's a good thing, because maybe it's resetting you. Taking you back to your first love, what started the things when it started. Sometimes I can get so high in things that I forget where my lowly power comes from. Why Jesus don't let him call him good, and why Jesus don't take these titles, and why Jesus don't do all these different things, because I'm not allowing y'all to buck me up. I'm not going to let you do it. I'm not going to let you buck me up and to get me out here. Satan, soon as he gets baptized down, he gets baptized. Baptism is a symbolism of humility. Get down under this water. Yeah. Yeah. Then I'm going to bring you up after you done been down. Yeah. If you baptize somebody good, you got to hold them down a little while. Then he said, then as soon as he come up, the sky opened and God started talking. Jesus ain't had to say nothing. God started talking. He said, this is my beloved. Why does he start naming him? He said, this is mine. He take ownership. First, God takes ownership of the man. He said, this is my. Then he said, be loved. So be and loved. He's somebody already and he already loved. My beloved, and he calls it son. Son means I'm equal. So God called Jesus his equal. They got mad at Jesus because he called himself a son, but God called him a son first. And then he says this, in whom I am well pleased, mean I'm already pleased. I said, well, I thought he ain't opened no blind eyes yet. He ain't did, this is before he went to Lazarus. This before he talked to the lame man. This before he gave all the parables. This before Jesus taught all his messages. This is before he said, I'm well pleased already. Show you what God think about you before you start trying to get all these things, a position that you're trying to do and all these steps you're trying to take so you can have some prestige. Get low. Everybody say, get low. Get low. Put in the thing right now. Get low. Get down. Get low. Get down. Get low. Get down. The reason you get hit by the bullets because you're not getting low. Everybody know when they start shooting what they're supposed to do. Get low. If I'm already low, I ain't got a duck. We talking about the fiery darts of the wicked one because you're not low. You want a shield to stand up low. Get low, bro. What was I talking about before that? I started talking about get low. I'm just going to go back to the scripture. Something I was going to. Please, Lord, I'm glad that I ain't like other men. I'm special. I'm gifted. I'm anointed. I got a special gift. My gift is different from everybody's. I'm set apart. And people won't quote that scripture because they just want to be different. You're already different. Now get low. Look, let me tell you right now. You're already different. You're already special. You're already special in God's eyes. You're already different. Get low. I know what I was saying. Baptized to bring up. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. It says, and then the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. Why? Because he's trying to test his humility. Listen, because Jesus heard him too. Jesus heard him too. Jesus heard that voice from the sky. Take ownership of him and say, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He heard him. So I'm going to drive him into the woods. I'm going to replay that beginning in the garden. I'm going to drive him into the wilderness. Because I know there's a temptation there waiting on him. A testing. A temptation, the word for temptation, looking up the word in the Strong's again, it's a test. It's testing it. And he had to test his humility. He had to test, was he going to come up here and say, I'm a big dog. Now, I got the anointing of Jesus. I got the anointing of God. God done ordained me and crowned me the son, the well-pleased son. Can't nobody hold me down now. The audacity of us. Labels are limits. Yeah, the limits. You just limited yourself to who God really called you. Unless the scripture line. The scripture says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, but the highest of heaven above the earth. He said, I have thoughts for you, thoughts of to give you expected in. Grace, he said, before you formed the bell, I knew you, ordained you, right? Hold on. He says, exceeding abundantly. Unless we read all these scriptures and they're wrong. Exceeding abundantly above all that you can or think. So whatever you decide to make it, it's going to be a limit. Get down. Get down. He said, don't call yourself that. Let another man call it for you. Get down. Get down. Get down. I ain't talking about get down dancing either. Get low. How low can you go? Can you go down low? I'm just playing. Takes him, drives him in the wilderness, and tests him with all of the things that we fail at. Food, fame, and being first. May turn into bread. They know Jesus fasting. Turn into bread. No, I ain't got to do nothing because you said it. Man's not live by bread alone. Well, I give you all the kingdoms. I give you all this stuff. Make you famous. Everybody know you. You get the next one, you say, cast yourself down. Well, I like it. Full. I'm gonna change from first to food, fame, and flying. Everybody wanna soar like the eagles. Well, cast yourself down from this. Didn't they say the angel's gonna come catch you? You won't dash a foot on the stone. Get by him. Get out of here. What are you talking about? My humility. Watch this. My humility is the key to my discernment. See, we think we got to get high to see things. But as soon as you pick yourself up from over the barricade, that's when that bullet pop you. They would teach. I used to watch the old karate movies. And one of the things, the one I used to love the most, boy, and when he teach him how to fight, put the bandana on his eyes. And he teach him how to fight without seeing. Because he said, Jesus said, they see, but they see not. That means you got your eyes open, but you still can't see nothing. He put that bandana on the eyes and it make it black. So now you got to see from a different place. Get low. Get down. Come on, get down. Get down. I'll never forget when it hit me, boy. I had dmontrell.com. I had the music, I was going to sing all over the place, and I was signing autographs. We signing pictures and stuff, and we doing all this stuff, dmontrell.com. One day, and somebody asked me what the website, I said, dmontrell.com, and I said, it made my stomach hurt. It stunk so bad. This stinks that I'm telling you, me.com. And I'm not knocking anybody using it. It's not that. It was just, I'm just telling you my story. When it hit me, it was like, what are we doing? What are we talking about? Where is this power? And then next thing you know, you start seeing yourself doing everything everybody else doing. It baffles me that what baffles me is that the people can be the most famous person in the world but can't change the city. The hunger rate don't go down, the health don't go up, the homeless is still the same number, and it amazes me that you are the most famous person in the world. We write articles about you and do that, and we pat you on the back and all this stuff, and then everything stays the same. Something is wrong. The power is somewhere else. Don't forget I told you. I ain't like these other men. I ain't even like this publican, verse 12, because I fast twice in the week. And I give tithes of all that I possess. Look at me. Look at me. Look what I do. Look how good I am. I'm glad I ain't like them other guys. Thank you, Lord, for not making me like them other guys. He don't even know. It's hidden from him. Oh, could it be? Watch this. You got to be. This is why your meek and lowliness heart is important. Because you could be the one standing up thinking you got it and you don't. And then the flood come. Jesus said this. He said, be in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving them marriage, buying and selling, eating and drinking, having a good time. He said, and then the flood came and wiped them all out, and they didn't even know it was coming. He said, come like a thief in the night. And not some people think it's talking about going to heaven, but God's will can come and you miss it because you're standing up trying to be something else. There's nothing more, like when I hear stuff like that, I got to get down. So I don't care about all that stuff. I got to get down right quick because there's nothing worse than thinking that you got it and you don't. Or there's nothing worse than thinking that you got a grip when in actuality you could be the person that's lost. Okay, so you're not an extortioner. Okay, so you're just. Okay, so you ain't cheating on your wife. Okay, so and you're not the regular, you're not a, what we like to call them in a church, what we like to call them, layman. So you're not a layman no more, you're a reverend now. You're not a layman no more, you graduated. I don't care how you feel. This is Jesus' river. And a publican standing there far off. He wouldn't even get close. Would not lift up. Now, this is a story Jesus is telling now. So I can't, you can't get, don't get up. He's talking, Jesus, if you feel this is about you, Jesus is talking about you. Standing far off and would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven. and he smote upon his breast. God be merciful to me, a sinner. What about, you know what the Bible talking about kneeling and bowing somebody because they're trying to get you to lay down? Bow before the king, kneel. He's just trying to get you to understand where you come from. Trying to get you to understand what, be merciful. I don't want to pick my head up. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. No big announcement. No great. He didn't even refer to the other guy. The Pharisee used the other people to boost him up. Extortioners, adulterers, unjust, and this publican. He used that as a stepping stone for him to be so strong. Find yourself. Who are you anyway? Who are you anyway, and where did you get that from? Whatever, all that, where did you get it from? And this works both sides, bad and good. Sometimes you're not who, you don't know who you really are, and you don't, I'm a good person. Where did you get that from? What have you compared that to define yourself? Comparison kills. Comparison to cut you off. Republican, I ain't stand off. I ain't trying to look up. God be merciful unto me. A sinner. And then Jesus gives his interpretation. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. What? For everyone, how many? Every, how many? Everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. In other words, when you exalt yourself, you're coming down. Well, pride comes right for the fall. You exalt yourself, just know the next step is on the ground. Not the if I jump off of, you know, if I could jump off of the ledge versus me jump off the stage, the hit will be a little different. Right? The higher I am, the harder to fall. The higher you go, the harder, right? Right? If I get down, I can't fall. I've never seen somebody lay down and fall. Unless they were laying on the bed and fell out of the bed. I haven't fallen out the bed before and then just slept on the floor. Back to sleep. I know somebody on the ground and fall. Humble people don't trip. Find somebody's always tripping. You're too high right now. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. It's a shall be. That means it's coming. And he that humbleth himself. Now these are both thank scriptures. These are both thank scriptures. Both of them got thank in there. But you got to find which thank you're using. Do you agree with humility? Or are you saying thankful because of a position? Are you thankful that down and humility and lowliness of heart is the way to the power? Are you thankful to be God? Thank you that you've given me the opportunity to be humble. Or are you saying thank you that I'm not like these people that's really humble? Majority of the time, you witness the people, I see people, a lot of time they come and it's a, man, I don't know, man. God, I don't know if God gonna love me like that. I don't know if he want me. Like what he got to do with me? Come on, we got the stories on B. What, me? He want me? Nah. He don't want me because I ain't no good. That man gonna be exalted. I'm gonna say this and I'm done. We have to beware of modern culture and modern Christianity and modern ways of the ways that we think we're supposed to love God. Because what comes along with our titles and our badges and our Christianity and our we're this, so we're not that, and we're over here, so they're not over here. And those things, what comes along with that a lot of the times is the high-mindedness. It comes along with this thing, and we forget that everything that we stand for, our salvation, our asking Jesus into our heart, our coming to Christ, our born-again experience, whatever we want to say it is, all of those things came out of humility. We not celebrate nothing on Easter if it ain't no humility. We can't celebrate a resurrection before a death. There is no up without a down. The seed got to go into the ground first and die before it can sprout up and bear fruit. Down is the beginning. Come here. Y'all working hard because you're standing up. You're working hard because you're standing on your own too. I'll give you rest. Take this and learn of me. Get down. I'm meek and little heart. You'll find rest for your soul. And then everything becomes easy and everything becomes light. Find yourself. Amen.